This is Bradcast producer Desi Doyen. We're off today. Today's Bradcast was originally recorded on August 18th, 2025.
Well, if you're looking for purpose in the current circus, if you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough. I put a kid in cuffs and tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down. I hear they get a great benefit plan. Join ICE, boy, ain't it nice. Join ICE, take my advice. If you're lacking control and authority, come with me and hunt down minorities. Join ICE. Well, I failed the academy, the cops weren't having me, the army didn't sound that fun, so I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. See, I got picked on in school, I never felt that cool, there's a hole in my soul that just rages. All the women turned me down, they told me I was a clown. Well, won't you look at me now, I'm putting folks in cages. At ICE, they got great hours. Join ICE for respect and power. They got a sign-on bonus of 50 grand. They're in need of you needing to feel like a man. Join ICE. Join ICE.
Man, he's good, huh? Jesse Wells is his name.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. This is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in Cali, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's Queso, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on your internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites. Too numerous to mention, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast, your smart news source in really stupid times. That song you heard at the top of the show there was a new folk song from Jesse Wells, who is just fantastic, Desi Doyen.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. Everything he does is just really just brilliant on point.
I think we played him before, and he sort of stands out in a field. You can hear the cicadas in the background there.
Exactly.
And plays for his iPhone or whatever. But he is fantastic. We played him before, but I can't remember why. Do you remember?
I don't remember why either. But yeah. I am always surprised by his ability to just really churn these out very quickly,
yes.
And they're all very good.
All I remember, he was similarly brilliant in that one as well. Anyway, we'll try to link to Jesse Wells' song there that you heard at the top in case you missed it, or in case you wanted to hear it again when we post today's show at the Brad Blog. Of course, his is just one of the voices rising up right now in response to the new, very well-funded effort by ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, founded very recently, after 9/11, to hunt down terrorists, and now being turned against migrants and, yes, American citizens, to recruit thousands of new agency employees to Donald Trump's authoritarian terror scheme being run against both migrants and, yes, the American people. The recent so-called Big Beautiful Budget bill passed by Republicans and signed by Donald Trump essentially quintuples the size of ICE. The ICE budget for this year grants them more than $100 billion over the next 10 years, meaning ICE is now larger, or at least has more money, than most national militaries around the globe. To that end, as detailed by the excellent independent nonprofit Religion Dispatches news site last week, you probably heard the heard references in an event to the Turner Diaries before. But in case you've only heard about it but don't really know exactly what it is, the Turner Diaries is one of the, if not the, formative text for modern neo-Nazis in the U.S., as Religious Dispatch describes it. It is a vile novel that imagines righteous white people enacting mass murder and essentially destroying the planet in order to build an ethno-state in the remaining enclaves in between the destruction, which includes the mass execution of the white supremacists' enemies. Sounds fun, right? It was said to have been the inspiration for right-wing anti-government terrorists such as Timothy McVeigh and others back in the 1980s and 1990s. And then there was another book that you probably haven't heard of. I hadn't, but a whole bunch of right-wing white supremacists on the right, of course, have called Which Way, Western Man? A seminal book that they're all familiar with. It includes passages like this, quote, "Let me preface what I'm about to say by declaring frankly that I am prepared to accept violence on the part of our people. The Jews hold on our throat is not going to be relaxed until we break their grip. Hitler felt that he had to take to the streets. All normal approach to his people was barred. Today, we are confronted with much the same situation here." That, according to Which Way, Western Man, just to give you an idea of what that book is like. And as noted, you might not have heard of Which Way, Western Man, but a whole lot of folks on the far white national right certainly have heard of that book. Last week, the official Twitter X account for the Department of Homeland Security, which was also, by the way, established only after 9/11 and currently embodies the DOJ, FBI, ICE, Customs and Border Protection, and on and on and on. Well, the Twitter account for DHS ran a graphic of Uncle Sam looking at some ponderings, a signpost reading, among other things, Homeland Service, Opportunity, Law and Order, with the big graphic, "America Needs You. Join ICE now." When the graphic was posted by DHS to its Twitter account, the text was added saying, quote, "Which way, American man?" That was added to it, along with the address for the ICE recruitment page. Reports Religion Dispatches, "It's not the first time that we and others at Religion Dispatches have had to point out that Trump's Department of Homeland Security is fire-hosing the internet with white supremacist propaganda. Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security." Yes, the image has its own issues, the outlet notes, but the real problem here is DHS's comment, "Which way, American man?" As the Southern Poverty Law Center's Hannah Gaius tweeted, quote, "This is an allusion to William Gailey Simpson's 1978 white nationalist book, Which Way, Western Man, which includes that vile passage I just shared with you." As Religion Dispatches Riley notes, quote, "Now, not to belittle the American fascist running DHS's social media account, but it seems unlikely they've acquired a copy of the original 1978 Yeoman Press edition of it, which means they either got it online, archive.org's got a copy, or from a physical copy of the 2003 reprint, which is what archive.org uses. That reprint, though, is from National Vanguard Books, a neo-Nazi press founded by William Luther Pierce III, author of, yes, The Turner Diaries. It is, in fact, the outlet notes, Nazis all the way down, now helping to recruit for ICE. They note, lest a week go by without DHS posting other white supremacy dog whistles. A few days prior, DHS posted a propaganda recruitment video of masked ICE agents shooting guns, breaking down doors, and even training an attack dog as, quote, hunt cartels, save America, and join.ice.gov. They appear on the screen in the very same Gothic lettering or Fruchterschrift used by Nazis in their publications, including on the cover of Mein Kampf. Again, this is from the official Department of Homeland Security account on Twitter, using Nazi lettering for an ICE recruitment video.
Now, that seems to me to be very un-American.
You think?
Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But, yeah, using the Nazi fonts.
I guess it depends which America you are interested in at this point. But, yes, the Fraktur font remains popular in right-wing and neo-Nazi circles today, notes Religious Dispatches, which makes its usage by DHS less of a dog whistle and more of a bullhorn. Put together with their wink-wink nudge-nudge at white nationalist text like Which Way Western Man, this is mainstreaming actual neo-Nazis from a government account. So when you hear the right complaining that folks not on their far MAGA right have concerns about what ICE is doing, I think your question should be for them, why aren't they concerned about what ICE is doing? Why aren't they concerned about ICE using Nazi imagery to help sell their brand? DHS has received the kind of funding from the Trump administration that most countries do not have for their armed forces. And the threat of ICE operating more and more like a secret police at Trump's beck and call is increasing daily, according to the media outlet. This isn't just trolling or sideshow. This is a government fashioning itself on the ideas, aesthetic, books, images, rhetoric, and violence of neo-Nazis. Not in their private signal chats, but publicly, for all to see. And while we don't know what terrors are yet to come, there can be no doubt where this regime draws its inspiration from. White supremacists, white nationalists, and literal neo-Nazis, observes Religion Dispatches. In an article about which I think we should all take note right around now, as Donald Trump is dispatching his masked secret police brown shirts to more and more places around the country. And if they haven't terrorized your hometown yet, well, make no mistake, they are coming there too, soon enough. As long as we continue on this trajectory that this country is now very much on. And if you don't believe it, just go check DHS's own Twitter feed. And with that, welcome to another cheery edition of the broadcast. Delighted to have you all here. We might talk a little bit more about how Trump's masked federal goons are now terrorizing America with a hat tip to the Nazi brown shirts that they seem to be modeling themselves after. We've got a lot to get to today and a lot I hope to get to. But in keeping with my promise of keeping communications lines open to we the people during this difficult era, if time allows, I would love to hear from you on anything that we might discuss today or which may be on your mind otherwise at 818-985-5735 if you happen to be in our live Southern California listening area today or listening anywhere live via the kpfk.org web stream. 818-985-KPFK. In not entirely unrelated news today, the Texas State House of Representatives on Monday gaveled in with a quorum for the first time in 2 weeks as Democratic lawmakers returned to Austin, as the also excellent nonprofit news source Texas Tribune reports today. That, ending a walkout over a GOP mid-decade redistricting plan and paving the way for the map's passage. That map, as we've been reporting over the past several weeks, is a newly gerrymandered version of Texas's already gerrymandered U.S. House maps. It is designed to make Democratic majority-minority districts disappear from the map entirely. Yes, to wipe them off the map and replace those currently blue seats with five new shiny red ones in a state where Republicans have already gerrymandered to ensure that Republicans outnumber Democrats in the U.S. House contingent by more than 2-1. The Democrats were greeted by cheering supporters inside the Capitol before the House convened upon their return from states elsewhere. Quote, "We killed the corrupt special session, withstood unprecedented surveillance and intimidation, and rallied Democrats nationwide to join this existential fight for fair representation, reshaping the entire 2026 landscape." That, according to State Rep. Gene Wu of Houston, he is the chair of the House Democratic Caucus. He said that in a statement. Over 50 Democratic lawmakers had left Texas earlier this month for Illinois and elsewhere in a bid to stall passage of a congressional map that was demanded by Donald Trump, who fears that he is going to lose the GOP's bare majority in the U.S. House next year, just 4 years after Republicans last redrew the state's lines in Texas after the 2020 census, when states have traditionally drawn new maps to reflect changes in the census every 10 years. They usually do not do it in the middle of the decade, unless they're trying to rig an election, perhaps. In an unprecedented response, Texas Tribune notes, Republican state leaders issued civil arrest warrants against the Democrats, moved to extradite absent members from Illinois, launched investigations, and sought to declare at least one Democrat's seat to be vacant. In fact, the state's corrupt, multiple times indicted attorney general and U.S. Senate candidate Ken Paxton filed with the Texas Supreme Court last week seeking the removal of 13 elected state reps for daring to leave the state to break the quorum, which is allowed by the Texas state constitution. But the legislature, which otherwise meets only for a few months every 2 years, I believe, ended the first special session that was called by Governor Greg Abbott to create that new U.S. House map. The legislature ended that early on Friday because of the Democrats' walkout, with Abbott promptly then calling a second overtime session with virtually the same agenda as the first one. Now, why Texas Democrats came back is somewhat beyond me at this point, other than I know that they have been harassed and threatened and were being fined $500 per day for every day that they were absent from the state. And remember, the Texas state legislature is a part-time gig, meeting only a couple of months every 2 years. So most of these folks have actual jobs that they were missing by being out of state, not to mention their families and so forth, but actual jobs that they used to support themselves and their kids, and they were not able to attend while they were out trying to help save American democracy for a couple weeks. So I am disappointed, but I do get it.
Well, and it's one of the things that I, particularly as someone who was born and raised in Texas, really, really dislikes about the legislature, in that it requires people to have enough personal wealth generally to be able to not only run for office, but to sustain their time at the in the legislature. So, you know, it favors the rich in Texas.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
for being able to take off 3 months to go serve at the Capitol
exactly,
as a part-time legislature.
You know, and for them to try, for the Texas Democrats to try to prevent this unprecedented power grab, stealing votes from voters, trying to, you know, prevent them from being able to elect the representative of their choice. You know, that was a big thing for them, you know, personally, to try to do. Also considering the fact that Texas Governor Abbott said that he would just continue to do special session again and again and again and again until he got this
power grab.
Yeah,
he claimed until 2027, till 2028, he was just going to keep calling repeat. You know, a special session could only last 30 days, but he can call as many of them as he wants.
Right.
So, yeah, like I say, I'm disappointed. I do get it. The Texas Democrats said that their hope was to sound the alarm so that other states and other Americans could jump into this fight. And arguably on that score, they were very successful. The return of most Texas Democrats on Monday means that the House in Texas, which needs 100 out of the 150 members present to function, that they can and almost certainly will move quickly to adopt the new map, which steals at least 5 seats from Democratic-leaning voters, almost all of them districts currently represented by a minority, by a Black or Hispanic or an Asian member of Congress. In case the news at the top about ICE did not help you understand the right-wing, white nationalist police state right now descending on our nation, Democratic lawmakers who walked out to break the quorum of the previous Texas special session of the legislature will now be subject, according to the head of the Republican caucus in the House, will now be subject to an around-the-clock escort by the Texas Department of Public Safety, according to the state House's Republican leader, who announced that those members would be accompanied by state troopers once the House adjourned on Monday. So if you thought a police state was coming, well, if you're an elected Democrat in Texas, there is definitely a police state. It's not coming. It's here. And it's following you home at night at this rate. Republicans were already moving to advance Texas's maps before Democrats even returned to the state. The state Senate committee had approved the plan again on Sunday. Though Democrats won't have the votes to defeat the map on the floor, yes, the state legislative map is also gerrymandered. They won't have the votes to defeat it, but they framed their protest as a victory for sinking the first special session and building a national appetite among blue state leaders for their own partisan redistricting efforts in retaliation to Texas. They said that the end of the walkout only marked the next phase of their plan to fight the effort to fight the map in court. Remember, several of the districts in question were actually drawn by federal courts previously after finding that Texas Republicans had been drawing racial gerrymanders in the state, which are still unlawful, at least for the moment, even after the U.S. Supreme Court has said that federal courts must stay out of the question, out of any challenges regarding partisan gerrymanders, suggesting that partisan gerrymander, well, that's just fine. Racial gerrymanders, no, for now. If you want a partisan to keep Democrats out of office, well, that is just fine. Or at least it's not a federal issue. You have to take it to a state court, see if they have a problem with it under the state constitution. Said Wu, the Democratic caucus leader in the Texas House, quote, "Our return allows us to build the legal record necessary to defeat this racist map in court, take our message to communities across the state and country, and inspire legislators across the country how to fight these undemocratic redistricting schemes in their own state houses." Now, the news comes not coincidentally, I suspect, just after California Governor Gavin Newsom late last week announced his so-called Election Rigging Response Act to put before voters in November, a plan that will rewrite California's U.S. House maps in response to what Texas is doing. It would add 5 new Democratic-leaning districts in the Golden State. It would take 5 seats away from Republicans in the bargain. In our case here in California, that can only happen if voters approve of this move, of this Election Rigging Response Act, as Gavin Newsom calls it. Voters have to approve of it first, and the new map has to be approved as well in a special election that is now set for November 4th, a statewide special election for, yes, all the voters, the people, in response to Texas. And it would only go into place if Texas successfully carries out its mid-decade gerrymander, which it looks like they are preparing to do. On Friday, following Newsom's rally for the new effort on Thursday, the state unveiled its proposed new congressional map. State legislature here will have to approve that map and the ballot measure before the week is out in order to get the matter to voters for a November 4 special election. The deadlines here are all really tight, but given that the California U.S. House map is normally drawn by an independent, nonpartisan redistricting commission, that's why we have some of the closest districts in the evenly divided districts in the nation. It's normally drawn by an independent commission. So this ballot measure, if adopted by voters, would put that map drawn by that commission on hold through the 2030 elections. In a letter of support to the Texas state reps, Democratic National Committee Chair Ken Martin thanked them for their efforts and vowed to continue the fight nationally, writing, quote, "Others will now pick up the torch so you can focus your attention on continuing this fight in Texas and in the courts. Fights like this are long and arduous," he said, "but they are truly righteous and part of what makes America great. The DNC will always be your partner in the fight for what is right," he said, "now and forever." You know, like the musical Cats, which used that same tagline, "now and forever," for 18 years on Broadway, until Now and Forever Cats was closed on Broadway back in 2000. Too cynical? AP notes that Trump has pressured other Republican states to consider redistricting as well. Efforts now appear to be moving forward to do exactly that in states like Ohio, Florida, Missouri, and elsewhere in a race to the gerrymandering bottom at this point, where all U.S. House seats, I guess, if we remain on this path, will eventually be controlled by whichever party controls the state's legislature and governor's mansion and decides how they want to draw this, how which voters they want to pick rather than having those voters pick them. But yeah, as much as I have personally fought against partisan redistricting for years, whether it's done by Republicans or Democrats, well, you can count me in the fight fire with fire team at this point. Federalism, after all, is not meant to be a suicide pact for democracy, or at least it shouldn't be, with one side playing by rules, another side playing Calvin ball, simply just making things up as they go along to please a power-hungry right-wing leader who would rather cheat than, you know, put forward policies that people actually like and might want to vote for. If you can't do that, well, then cheat the voters instead. Got any thoughts on any of this? Are you folks listening live today in California now looking forward to this November 4 special election? Do you think it will Newsom's proposal will pass? Are you troubled by California instituting Democratic partisan gerrymanders in response to Republican partisan gerrymanders? Or are you just fine with that, fighting fire with fire? As Newsom has said, 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735. I've got more election news ahead, so let me take a quick break here because I want to get to Donald Trump's remarks today and, as time allows, some of your calls, 818-985-5735. We're back with all of that and whatever else we can fit into this hour. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast. Hey, this is Brad. Here at the Bradcast and bradblog.com, we fight for election integrity all year around, like no other media outlet in the nation. But of course, we need your help to help us remain on your public airwaves and completely independent. The fight for voting rights, civil rights, and to save our planet continues. Please help us continue that fight independently over your public airwaves by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. From Desi Doyen and myself, thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Bradcast.
Welcome back. It's your Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We will try to get some of your calls in a little bit here. If you'd like to ring in on anything we're talking about today or anything else on your mind, these are, after all, your public airwaves. 818-985-5735 is our phone number, 818-985-KPFK, if you happen to be in our live Southern California listening area. All right. In related news to everything we were talking about before the break, while the effort to steal U.S. House seats at the state level at the command of Donald Trump is a very real concern, in advance of next year's critical midterm elections, where Democrats could, if they can win back the House majority, put a serious crimp into Donald Trump's authoritarian agenda. Hell, why don't we just call it Nazi agenda, based on what we discussed in the previous act. While that effort is a very real one, and you should keep your eyes on it, Trump has made a really silly announcement on Monday morning about his failed social media site, with which he hopes to both terrify you and mostly hopes to distract you from both his failed and embarrassing meeting with war criminal Vladimir Putin on Friday in Alaska, when the summit ended early with no ceasefire deal for Ukraine and no, quote, severe consequences for Russia for not agreeing to one, as Trump had previously promised, but no one believes him anymore. Everyone knows he never keeps his word. He didn't mean it. Though it did end on Friday with great photo ops for Putin standing beside a sometimes puppy dog overeager and sometimes bedraggled president of the United States. So it worked out for Putin. That's the important thing. Anyway, that's one thing that Donald Trump hopes you will soon forget about, as well as his ongoing refusal to release the Epstein files that he had long vowed to release because, of course, he is in them. And likely in some compromising nature, I guess, along with his two friends, Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who were involved in a long scheme to sex traffic minors during Donald Trump's long 15-year friendship with the pair. To distract from that, and to otherwise further hope to terrorize Americans who believe in democracy, well, Donald Trump took to his failed social media site. He posted a long screed full of lies, nonsense, and everything else on Monday morning. And forgive me, but I'm going to step through the key claims of Donald Trump's lies, since I know much of this is getting out there. Much of this news about what he had to say is getting out there, but without pointing out the lies and so forth.
You mean you're going to add some context?
I thought it would be a good idea.
Help explain so people understand what's happening.
You're welcome. So Trump declared in this long rambling post, punctuated, by the way, throughout with all caps. He starts this way, quote, I am going to lead a movement to get rid of mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots, all caps. And also, while we're at it, highly, quote, inaccurate. I'm not sure who's quoting there. Highly inaccurate. Very expensive and seriously controversial voting machines, which cost 10 times more than accurate and sophisticated watermark paper, which is faster and leaves no doubt at the end of the evening as to who won and who lost the election. Okay, a whole lot already in that one long run-on sentence. So not clear what he means by lead a movement. As president, you'll recall, he issued an executive order some months back claiming to make similar-ish pronouncements. In that case, he claimed to mandate, among other things, that vote-by-mail ballots that are mailed before Election Day and postmarked as such, but that arrive at the local election headquarters after Election Day, that those may not be counted. He also declared that proof of citizenship would henceforth be required for voting in the U.S. Now, in fact, the president has zero power to do either of those things, with states, not the federal government, much less the president of the United States, being granted control over the, quote, time, manner, and place of elections. That's what it says in the Constitution, along with a carve-out for Congress. If they decide to override the states on a few of those things, they may do so. But the president is not Congress, and it would be virtually impossible to get either of those two things he mentioned, to end vote-by-mail and to get rid of voting machines altogether. It would be virtually impossible to get either of those things through Congress right now unless Republicans decided they wanted to blow up the filibuster in the U.S. Senate, which, of course, they very well might do, even though Two now former Democratic senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, prevented Democrats from doing exactly that when Democrats were hoping to adopt legislation to ensure voting rights, to protect voting rights, and to, yes, prevent partisan gerrymandering in all 50 states. Republicans wanted nothing to do with that, wouldn't vote for it, and those two now former Democrats blocked the real Democrats from changing the rules in the Senate to pass that bill in advance of last year's 24 election and those to come. Two different judges, meanwhile, have blocked most of Donald Trump's earlier executive order on those things for now. As to getting rid of highly, quote, inaccurate, whoever is quoting, very expensive, seriously controversial voting machines, which cost 10 times more than accurate and sophisticated watermark paper, which is faster and leaves no doubt at the end of the evening as to who won and who lost the election. Well, presuming that he's talking about unverifiable touchscreen voting systems versus completely verifiable hand-marked paper ballot systems, well, I'm with them there. Sure. Let's get rid of those machines. Sounds fine by me. But again, presidents have zero authority there either. They cannot order that. They cannot decide what type of voting systems that jurisdictions choose to use or to not use. Maybe more on that in a moment. But back to Trump's dumb tweet here. Quote, "We are now the only country in the world that uses mail-in voting. All others gave it up because of the," and this is all caps, "massive voter fraud encountered."
I'm guessing that's not real either.
Well, no, on that point, he is right in that we're the only ones that use mail-in voting, as long as you don't count Canada, which still has mail-in voting, and Germany, and also the UK. They have mail-in voting. So does Switzerland. And sure, Australia has mail-in voting as well. Also, South Korea, Iceland, Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, and oh, don't forget about Poland. We always forget about Poland. But we shouldn't.
Don't forget about Poland.
So other than that, sure, he's totally right. We are the only country in the world who does it. As long as you don't also, by the way, count France and Belgium and Japan and Norway and Sweden and Finland, who, while not allowing mail-in voting for local residents, does actually allow it for citizens who live abroad, anywhere around the world. But other than that, Donald Trump, totally right. 818-985-KPFK is our phone number, 818-985-5735. Among the great democracies that do not, by the way, allow mail-in voting would be, well, let's see, Russia. Huh. Russia doesn't allow it, which is interesting because on Friday, Trump claims that Vladimir Putin told him during their failed meeting in Alaska that Trump won the 2020 election by a lot. And the reason it didn't look that way was due to fraud by mail-in ballots. That's what Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump. How does Vladimir Putin know that? Well, apparently he did not say, Trump did not say, and it didn't occur to Trump, to ask Vladimir Putin if Vladimir Putin actually said that at all. Though it's odd that Trump won the elections in both 2016 and 2024, presumably, even with vote-by-mail ballots in pretty much all 50 states. How could that happen? Even with mail-in ballots. What? There are countries, however, like Russia, who do not allow mail-in voting. Other ones are, most Middle Eastern and Latin American countries do not allow vote by mail. You know, a lot of the authoritarian nations that Donald Trump looked up to for how they run their quote-unquote democracy so that we can do the same thing back here. Back to Trump's tweet, and now we're in all caps. "We will begin this effort, which will be strongly opposed by the Democrats because they cheat at levels never seen before, by signing an executive order to help bring honesty to the 2026 midterm elections." Aha! That's what this is about. It's not about protecting voting rights. It's not about protecting voters. It's not about protecting democracy. It's about protecting the Republican advantage in 2026 or at least Donald Trump's hope that they will be able to hang on to the U.S. House and Senate. So who could have guessed it? That's what this is about. And his plan to sign another executive order, well, it'll likely be as successful as the last one, so don't get too freaked out about it. That last one has been put on hold by two different federal judges who has, you know, been able to look at both the executive order and the Constitution and say, wait a minute, he has no authority whatsoever to do these things. Remember, Trump continued in his post, the states are merely an agent, in quotes, for the federal government in counting and tabulating the votes. They must do what the federal government, as represented by the President of the United States, tells them for the good of our country to do.
That's just delusional.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't think that states are merely an agent of the federal government and that the federal government really means Donald Trump and the President of the United States can tell them whatever they want to do, tell his agents in the states what they have to do? Right. There is nothing in either of those two sentences from Trump's post that has any relationship whatsoever to the truth, to the law, to the Constitution, to reality itself. States are not merely an agent for the federal government, represented by the president, which must do, as he says, in how they count votes, according to an executive order.
I'm so old, I remember when Republicans used to say that they were for states' rights and were against an overbearing, overreaching federal government.
Yeah, well, you are pretty old at this point.
True.
Because Republicans, well, actually, it hasn't been long ago that Republicans were fighting for states' rights. You know, when it came to abortion access, for example, it's all about how the states, the federal government has no say in this.
You have whatever rights Republicans say you have.
Correct. So all of this, it's all entirely made up out of whole authoritarian cloth by Donald Trump to try to freak you out. Don't let him freak you out. No, he can't get away with that. He's going to try. Anyway, more on that in a moment. Back to his tweet, his endless tweet, which is really a novel at this point, a really bad novel. He writes, Democrats are virtually unelectable without using this completely disproven mail-in scam. I'll let you make sense of that. Now everything is all caps throughout the end of this post. Elections can never be honest with mail-in ballots / voting, and everybody in particular, the Democrats, knows this. I and the Republican Party will fight like hell to bring honesty and integrity back to our elections. Because when I think of honesty and integrity, especially in elections, I cannot help but think of Donald Trump. Never mind, by the way, those 34 criminal felony charges that he was found guilty for in the state of New York related to his attempt to game, to defraud the 2016 election. Oh, yeah. What about that? Other than that, thank you, sir. Please bring honesty and integrity back to our elections right away. He continues, sorry. All caps, the mail-in ballot hoax using voting machines that are a complete and total disaster must end now. Now, mail-in ballots don't use touchscreen voting machines. They're counted by tabulators. It is clear that Donald Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. When I said earlier that I'd be in favor of it if he wanted to get rid of the touchscreen voting machines, apparently that's not what he meant, because he thinks that those touchscreen voting systems are used with mail-in balloting. It is not. The mail-in ballot hoax using voting machines that are a complete and total disaster must end now, he writes incomprehensibly. Remember, without fair and honest elections and strong and powerful borders, you don't even have a semblance of a country. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. Okay. So that's Trump's latest threat to try to terrify and terrorize Americans when it comes to elections. But do not be fooled. He does not have the actual legal or constitutional authority to do any of that stuff that he just described, much less with the stroke of a pen in an executive order. So don't get too freaked out about what he's about to do when he issues this executive order, if he issues it. I suspect he will. It'll be challenged. It'll be held up in court. I should note parenthetically that he doesn't have the power to move forward with any of this unless a corrupted judiciary, specifically his corrupted activist Republican U.S. Supreme Court majority, unless they dream up another non-existent constitutional clause to benefit their friend Donald Trump, who seated three of them, by the way. And as the court, this corrupted court, has done in the past, for example, the presidential immunity clause. I challenge you to go find that in the U.S. Constitution, but somehow the right-wingers on the high court found it. That also does not exist, but unless they dream up something like that to allow him to have the power over U.S. elections, despite the very clear intent of the framers to keep the executive branch out of elections entirely, leaving them to the states and occasionally to Congress as Congress sees fit. So all of this is, frankly, stuff and nonsense. And I've already seen many people today referring to this attempt to frighten voters away from the ballot box or to keep them from voting through these measures, since, in fact, it would result in hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of voters being disenfranchised if any of this stuff actually went forward, including, by the way, a whole lot of Republican voters who would also be disenfranchised by this BS if it went forward. So I've seen people, you know, kind of freaking out about that. But as Republicans usually do in this case, they're willing to lose Republican votes so long as they think that they can disenfranchise more Democratic voters than Republican ones. They don't care. They know. We've seen it throughout the years as they've instituted these strict photo ID voting restrictions. We've seen Republicans being turned away at the polls, which is outrageous, outlandish, infuriating. Sometimes they're, you know, longtime veterans of the World War II veterans we've reported on who have been turned away from the polls by these Republican laws. But Republicans are just fine with that because they think more Democrats are going to be affected than Republicans. And yes, Trump is trying or hoping to do exactly that. But he's also trying to do something else here with this attempted disenfranchisements and his call for gerrymanders, etc. He is trying to set up an excuse, period. That's what this is about, an excuse to save face if his party is trounced at the polls next year. And given the polling right now on his unpopularity and the huge unpopularity of virtually every issue that Trump has touched, including his authoritarian immigration roundups, yes, his party is likely to take a huge beating at the polls next year, despite his false claims right now that he's wildly popular and that everything he's doing is going great. Well, he knows that it isn't. He will never admit that, but he's not delusional enough yet that he actually believes any of this is going well. So to start planning now for a loss next year, he's pretending that 2024 and 2016 never happened when he won the election, and the Republicans simply cannot win if vote-by-mail ballots are used, and that the U.S. House is somehow gerrymandered against Republicans. As to his call to get rid of 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines, presuming that's what he actually means, even if he doesn't understand it at all, well, I would agree with him on that. But it's important to note that there's a reason why he is calling all of that out right now. In fact, he's right in that nobody can ever verify results that are cast on touchscreen voting machines. You can never know if they actually reflect the intent of any voter. And if he points that out now, he can use that as an excuse next year to say that his party actually won, but for those unverifiable touchscreen voting machines that cannot be verified, and he would be correct to do so. They can't be verified. He can make whatever claims he wants about them, whether it's true or not, in order to cover for the fact that he lost, if, in fact, he loses, or in this case, if his party loses. So it seems like he's finally figured out that part. I'm surprised he didn't make that argument more when he was lying about his loss back in 2020. He could have cited those touchscreens. He didn't know anything about them back then. He should have used them. That would have at least been plausible as opposed to the nonsense he put forward. But it seems he may have figured that part out by now. So yes, it's about trying to rig next year's elections, absolutely, in Republicans' favor. But it is also about, arguably even more about, putting in place reasons to claim that he didn't really lose next year. His party and his policies weren't really rejected by voters. It was all a scam. It was all a hoax. It was all vote by mail. It was all fraud. If he wins, it's because he's great. If he loses, it's because it was stolen from him. 2020 redux. Bank on it. Bank on it between now and next year. Don't be fooled and don't be distracted from his seemingly unending failures, no matter how much outrageous Nazi propaganda he uses, and no matter how much he is claiming that American elections cannot be held honestly if there are either mail-in ballots or voting machines. You know, just like Vladimir Putin himself said to Donald Trump on Friday. And why wouldn't anyone believe Vladimir Putin when it comes to the sanctity of democracy? My phone number is 818-985-5735. If you'd like to jump in, sorry, running late. Let me go to Rob in Apple Valley. Hey, Rob, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, I'd like to comment on just like how fascism and Nazism, right? That's been thrown around quite often, and people are quite offended that they're even called a fascist or a Nazi, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of these Americans and a lot of people, they don't have a point of reference other than black and white newsreels of Mussolini and Hitler in World War II, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what we are witnessing now in our country, the United States of America, is fascism and Nazi, but in a different suit. People just can't recognize it because they don't know what it is.
At least the Nazis showed their faces, as I understand it. ICE won't even do that. And so listen, if you don't like being called a Nazi, don't start joining forces with a group who cites, don't act like one, and don't join a group that acts like a Nazi, uses Nazi references, Nazi fonts in their advertising. Yep, absolutely.
They can't help themselves. But anyway, check this out. You know, Hitler was what, Mein Kampf, right?
Yep.
You know what we're getting is Mein Shaft. That's what we're getting, you know. Anybody who believes this crap, you know, that's where they're going to go down. I'm going to let you go and let you take other callers if you got time, okay?
Thank you, Rob. Much appreciated, sir.
818,
you bet. 818-9, oh, do I do this right? One of these days I'll learn how to operate the phones. 818-985-5735. Let me go to Bruce in Idlewild. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. Just one quick comment about Gavin Newsom's push to counter Texas's vote rigging.
Yep.
Is think locally, think globally, act locally. That's all I got to say.
Well said, Bruce. Thank you very much. Smartly done. 818-985-KPFK. Do we have time for one more, Des? Yeah? All right. Let me go to Harold. Oh, Harold in Santa Barbara. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir. I think we talked to you recently.
Yes. My question is, I don't see how California's role will help out Texas. Forgive me. All I see it is helping out our governor to run for president.
Well, okay. Good question, Harold. It won't directly help Texas, other than it may help Democrats to hold on to him or to win a majority. Turn him down a little bit there, making some noise. To turn him down, I'm sorry, it will help Texas by helping Democrats perhaps win a U.S. House majority next year. So it will help Democrats in Texas who won't have to be under the thumb again of Republicans for the next 2 years. That's the thought. Does that make sense, Harold? Oh, Harold, does that make sense? Did Harold hang up on himself? Yes, he did. Oh, well. Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing that Gavin Newsom can do to, you know, to go into Texas and force them to do the right thing, to force them to start respecting their own voters. Voters are going to have to rise up in Texas, in California, in Illinois, in New York, in name your favorite red state, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Utah. Voters are going to have to rise up to take on this tyrant and this tyranny. The very thing that Republicans used to pretend to be against. Now it's up to all of us, Democrats, Republicans, independents alike, to regain our democracy. And at some points, that's going to look pretty dirty. Frankly, it looks pretty dirty in California to have to re-gerrymander in the middle of the decade to pick up five seats for Democrats to make up for the five seats that were stolen from Democrats in Texas. It's pretty crappy. It's pretty awful. I don't feel good about supporting it, but I do support democracy. And I don't see any way that democracy survives at this rate if we continue on the trajectory that we are on. And if the executive, legislative, and judicial branches are all taken over by people who support authoritarianism. I just can't do that. I can't get behind that. I'm going to fight for democracy every time. Not for Democrats, not for Republicans, not for independents. I'm fighting for democracy. At this point, it means getting behind what the Democrats are pushing in California. But things change. But for right now, that's where we are. All right, we got to get out. Thanks. I have to get out, don't I? Yeah, unfortunately, I do. Anyway, we'll be back soon enough. Until then, my thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, Wendell the Handyman Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, or want to hear it again, or want to share it with someone you know, love, or hate, you can do so anytime for free by downloading it at bradblog.com or your favorite podcast site. Drop me an email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com, and on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you will find me at the Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to the Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.